Recently, reading through a book of Icelandic folklore, I came across a story that to anyone brought up with the Brothers Grimm was clearly the Rumpelstiltskin story. A person has an impossible task, and a stranger appears offering a bargain to perform the impossible task, on the condition that the recipient divine the true name of the stranger before the task is completed. If not, the recipient will lose a child to the stranger. This story form shows up across cultural boundaries and goes back, some folklorists estimate, as far as 4,000 years. Clearly, the power of naming and knowing a name strikes an incredibly deep chord in the human psyche. In modern conventional American society, we name children at birth and expect that label to follow them all their lives. But, you know, that's not the case everywhere in the world. And it's funny, when I look back at when we had a landline telephone, I could tell when the caller didn't know either of us if they asked for Joost. It's a mispronunciation of Yost, Jock's given name, and maybe that's the best way to refer to it. He was given the name Yost, but he has grown into and become Jock. It's a powerful thing how we call people, how we name them. When my extended family that I see once every 2 years calls me by a name I haven't responded to since Reagan's first term as president, is it to show intimacy with me? No, it's a claim of ownership, and to a certain extent to put me in my place as the youngest and therefore at the bottom of the power structure, not worthy of the consideration of having aged beyond toddlerhood to 36 years of life experience. In that short interaction, just like in a Jane Austen book, where a title denotes marital status, friendship, economic status, and birth order within a family, volumes are spoken about relationships. I find myself baffled when I try to clarify how someone would like to be addressed and they respond with, well, such and such is on my birth certificate. Really? A label you were assigned when you were less than a day old, had no personality of your own yet, and had made no decisions about your relationship with the world. That's how you define yourself a half a century later? No nickname, no middle name, no alias. I don't know about you, but I, for one, have fought really hard to become myself, to embody my name, and it's not something I give away lightly. But think about this. In the current time, if someone has your full, given, legal name and another identifying feature, they can effectively take your identity out to play. They can spend money you might or might not have, make obligations in your name that you are responsible for. Certainly armed with just that, they can discover almost every address you have ever had, schools you attended, former employment, friends, family members, and knowing that, it is an entree into the deep personal access of your past and the ability to manipulate your future. Pretty freaky when you think about it. The Brothers Grimm's tales are frequently viewed as cautionary tales. And perhaps not gambling with our own selves, the part of us that we have fought to become, the embodiment of our own power, our sense of our name. Maybe that's the lesson we really need to be talking about. Because what we risk is symbolized by the lost child. We risk our future for ourselves and our loved ones.